Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. Before we continue, let us just close our eyes in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this morning and this privilege we have to humble ourselves before you and to ask you, Lord, to reveal more of yourself to us through your word. Lord, I want to ask that you will grant us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation in the knowledge of you, that our eyes of our understanding may be enlightened to see the greatness and the love, the grace and the power that you have extended towards us through your Son. How great our salvation is and what it means to be saved, to be in Christ. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that you will come and show us more, that we may live it more in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share around the exceeding greatness of God's power towards us who believe. Of course, we find that in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's prayer for the church who had faith in Christ and love for one another, asking God to add to their faith and their love something beyond themselves, something that only God can give them. This insight, this revelation into this exceeding greatness of this power that is within us. And so I want us to read here in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, just the context. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is this exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. And so powerfully, Paul prays for us that we may gain understanding in this exceeding great power that is in work in us. This power, of course, is the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit that transforms us to become a new creation, that is continually working in us, transforming us to become more like Christ, empowering us to overcome sin and temptation and to do the purposes of God. And so Paul asks that we may gain greater understanding in this great power. It's so powerful that Paul likens it, he describes this power as the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, that in itself is a powerful statement, and I want us just to pause there for a moment. As I was thinking about it, we as humans, we do not have the power, not our science or medicine or our wisdom, have the power to raise someone that has been dead for 3 days to life. We don't have anything close to that. The only one who has this great power to raise the dead to life is God Himself. I'm reminded of Lazarus when he was dead for 4 days and Jesus came to the grave and his sisters pleaded with him, said, but if you were only here earlier, and Jesus responded, but I'm the resurrection and the life, and if you have faith in me, you will see the glory and power of God. And so we read here in John 11 from verse 39, where Jesus comes to the grave and he asks them to take away the stone. Here from 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. But Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And then Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You need to believe, and you will see the power of God manifest that brings life to what was dead. And so Ephesians chapter 1 says, Paul asks that we may gain understanding in what is this exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. That power that only God has is at work in us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is now presently working in us. Now we need to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of this power? Because it's not for one day only when we are dead in our bodies and will be resurrected at his return. It is for now in this present time, the same power working in us for a purpose. And that purpose, I want to share with you, it's part of the mystery of this power of the Holy Spirit within us. It continues in Ephesians chapter 2, giving us insight into the purpose of this great power. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." What a powerful statement and explanation of the purpose of this great power that is presently already at work in us. And the purpose is to overcome sin and the sinful nature that used to control us. Where we were dead in our trespasses and sins, it says it so powerfully, we were powerless to save ourselves and to live a godly life. We were dead in the flesh and the power of sin, and we cannot but do what the sinful flesh desires, and we lived according it. But God, who is rich in his mercy, used that same power that he raised Christ from the dead to raise us from this deadness into newness of life and filled us with his spirit so that we can live a life that glorifies God, a life of righteousness and holiness in victory over sin and the sinful nature. He says it so powerfully. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Verse 3, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. But God made us alive together with Christ through this great power, so that we can now be different to what we used to be. Not because of our own ability, but because of this great power that is at work in us. So we can overcome sin and no longer be slaves to the flesh and its sinful desires. And this is what I really want to share with you, because there are so many Christians that are still struggling with sin in their life. And the first step in overcoming sin is the revelation and the knowledge of what God has given us through Christ and his Holy Spirit. Then to understand it, because knowledge will lead to understanding. And once we have understanding of this great power, we can apply it, we can live it, and therefore be free from the bondage of sin in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 10 says the following, "But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you." How powerful is that? If this Spirit is in you, even though you were dead, it will make you alive. And it will make you live according to the ways of God and not according to the flesh. And then so powerfully in the next verse, "Therefore, because of this fact, because of this great power is now at work at you, Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of this power in us, not just to be forgiven, but to be set free. This is a powerful revelation. The devil, on the other hand, tries to erase this knowledge and our understanding of it so that he can continue to keep us captive in sin. And you know what's the thing about sin? Sin is the image of the devil growing in the world. And we see it all over us. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to establish the image of God in this world. And so God calls us not to be like we used to, but to be like Christ. And not in ourselves, but through this power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. This is so important to overcome sin. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can indeed overcome sin and no longer be enslaved to sin. Romans chapter 6 put it so powerfully. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. Listen to this. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. You see, the devil doesn't want us to know and understand this. He wants us to believe that we are still trapped in a fallen world, that we are sinners that cannot help but sin. And that is a lie. No, we've been born again, we've been filled by the power of God and the Spirit of God so that we can live a life of holiness and righteousness, reflecting the nature and the character of God. Romans 6 continue, for the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then again, the very next verse. Therefore, because of this fact, do not let sin reign in your body that you should obey in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see, that is the truth, and the devil tries to deceive us to believe because we are human, because we still face temptation, we have to still give in to temptation. You see, temptation is not sin. It's when we give in to temptation that we sin. And the devil tries to deceive us that we do not have the ability or the power, which is half truth. In ourselves, we don't have the ability and power to overcome sin. But God has given us his Spirit that lives within us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now lives in us to empower us to say no to temptation and to overcome temptation and all the lies and the schemes of the devil. Because God is teaching us, he is training us to become overcomers. And so the devil tries to prevent us to understand this so that we may continue to live in bondage. It's like the parable of the sower. Remember, the seed that was sown on the wayside, on the path, Jesus explains that in Matthew 13, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, that what was sown in his heart. And so the devil tries to deceive us and take away the knowledge of who God is and what he has done for us through his Son and the Spirit in us, so that he could keep us paralyzed in our weakness and sinfulness, when the truth is God has set us free. And so in a Christian life, we should live a holy life. And sin should become a rare exception in an otherwise holy life because of the power of God in us. And the amazing thing is God has created this dispensation of grace for us where we can learn to overcome sin. And even if we fall, even if we fail, there is forgiveness through the sacrifice of Christ. But that forgiveness, that grace, is not a license or a reason to continue to sin, but actually a motivation to stand up, to go before God and say, God, I'm sorry for giving into this temptation, but I believe that you've given me the strength to overcome this sin. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will teach me to overcome this sin so that I may give glory to you forever and ever for what you have done in and through me. And so God has given us this great power. Romans 6 verse 1 puts it so powerfully that this grace that has been given to us is not an excuse to continue in sin, but it's actually a power in us to live a holy life. It says here, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? He has given us this exceedingly great power so that we can overcome sin. And he wants us to learn to overcome sin. Because that is who we are. We are overcomers. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so he has created for us this amazing environment of not just forgiveness, but empowerment so that we can learn to overcome. So how do we overcome sin? Well, many Christians struggle sometimes with a pattern of sin. Maybe it's lust, maybe it's fear, maybe it's envy. So many Christians seem to struggle with sin and do not overcome it. And when the devil comes to bring the lie that there is no answer to this temptation, there is no answer to this weakness in you, and that that's just who you are as a fallen creature, he tries to deceive us from the truth. But today I trust that God has, through His Spirit, shown you what He has done for us through Jesus on the cross. And these are the steps of overcoming sin from my understanding and experience in my own life, is that it starts with this knowledge and understanding. It starts with the knowledge of what God has said concerning what He has done for us through Jesus on the cross and this great exceeding power of the Holy Spirit within us to make us alive with Christ and set us free from sin. First, you need to believe the knowledge of what God has done. Then you need to understand it where Paul says, you need to reckon yourself dead indeed. So once you believe what God says and you have asked God to reveal it to you to the point where you understand what has happened when Christ gave His life for you and filled you with His Spirit, then you can reckon yourself to be dead indeed in sin. And once you have the knowledge and the understanding, it can lead to an application. When temptation comes to sin, you can say to the devil and that sin, no, I don't have to. You know why? Because I'm a new creation and the Spirit of God lives in me and I do not have to sin anymore. So I can say no. And that's why James 4 verse 7 is so powerful. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So powerfully. And the way we overcome sin in our lives is not just through the knowledge and understanding of what God has done for us, but it's through the relationship with that power, with the Holy Spirit in us. When we ask Him to teach us and to show us, and if we know of an area in our lives that we are struggling with, we can go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I understand this is not your desire for me, and that you have given your life so that I can be free. But I ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach me to overcome the sin. Help me. And the Word of God says that if we follow the Spirit, we will not give in to the desires of the flesh. And that is how we overcome sin. The powerful thing is, even if we fall in our learning to overcome, God has made provision for that. It's so amazing that even as a Christian, when I do fall in temptation and I commit sin, I can go to God. I can say, Lord, I am so sorry I have sinned. Please forgive me. And you know what's so powerful is, the moment we bring our sin and we confess it before God, He forgives us completely. He's already forgiven us. But what he wants us is to learn that that is a wrong action, a wrong decision. And so repentance is powerful when we turn away from that, accepting what God has said and not what the devil has said, and then standing up and say, God, thank you for setting me free, washing me clean. Now help me next time to overcome it. And that's what God is looking for us. He's looking to see us become overcomers in him. That is our life on this earth. It is a journey of becoming more like Christ, to becoming an overcomer. But it starts with this knowledge and understanding of what he has done in this relationship with him. But do not use his grace as an excuse to continue in sin. Or do not believe the lie of the devil that you are the defeated one. No, he is the defeated one. And then walk in a relationship with the Holy Spirit and he will teach you to overcome. And then so powerfully, Revelation 3 verse 21 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit on my throne as I also overcame and sit down with my Father on his throne. And I want to encourage you, if you are still struggling with sin, start with the knowledge, the truth. And when temptation comes, quote scripture. We see that so often in Jesus' life. When the devil tempted him, Jesus would quote scripture. He would say, it is written, from a place of faith. It's not a formula. It's not a formula. It's a place of knowing, understanding, and believing. And then, in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, ask him to teach you to overcome. And I want to invite you, if there is a pattern of sin in your life and you are struggling, please come join us in Encounter 4. That's what we do in Encounter 4. We pray with you that you can overcome this sin and this pattern in your life so that God can receive all the glory, because he has already given you the power to overcome. Let us pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you have given us your Spirit to empower us to overcome. Lord, we know the law is powerless to save us. Only you can save us. You save us, Lord, not only through forgiving us, but for granting us this exceeding great power of your Spirit within us to give life to our mortal bodies, to overcome the flesh, so that you may receive the glory. And so, Lord, I pray that you will grant us to see, to know and to understand and to walk with you, that we may become overcomers, that we can face temptation and face the devil and say no and yes for you and follow you so that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Hi, as I mentioned before, we have an Encounter 4 seminar coming up on the 13th and 14th of November. It's an amazing opportunity where we create an environment where you can connect with God, where we teach you and help you to use this exceeding great power that is within you to set yourself free from the power of sin, where you can address the strongholds and the patterns in your life, and that you can be empowered through an encounter with God to walk in freedom, that you can continue, that you will not be dependent on facilitators for your freedom, but that you will become dependent on God and walk in this amazing relationship and freedom. So that's what Encounter 4 is all about. If you want to register, there's a link below where you can register. Otherwise, you can phone the office. But I trust that this will be an amazing opportunity where you grow in becoming an overcomer in Christ Jesus. May God bless you.